My name is May Graham, and I'm going to be discussing where you can speak to your abortion-minded woman every day in social media. So, this is Gwen Knowles. Gwen Knowles is the director of the Source Medical Clinic, and she also is my mom. And thanks to her, I have learned so much about crisis pregnancy centers, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. So, this is me and my husband. My husband's in the military. We just got married. And he's great. Obviously, we love each other a lot right now. I have a bachelor's of psychology with Spanish, yo hablo un poco de español, which also my mom always tries to get me to order at the Mexican restaurant in our local town. She'd be like, speak in Spanish. And I'm like, Mom, like, shh. But I also am finishing my master's of arts in industrial and organizational psychology.
What does that mean?
So that is essentially this, like, really big, ridiculous term for corporate psychology, and the psychology of an organization and the people within it and who they serve. It won't reach.
Do you want me to try to advance for you?
That's okay.
Are you sure?
That go for it. Go for it.
Okay. You just give me the signal.
Okay, you can go to the next one. So I have 10 years in graphic design, marketing, communications, and social media experience, as well as 15 plus years in crisis pregnancy centers and nonprofit organizations.
Gosh, I was old enough. I was just thinking the same thing.
I've been immersed in it, let me tell you. Okay. So who am I today? I am the young professional who's going to tell you the honest, maybe hard to hear truth about your social media. And as we go through this presentation, how many of y'all have ever heard of the PK in the church, of what a PK is? So PK is a preacher's kid, you know. They know everybody in the church. They know the board members of the church. They know the churches in the area. They've gone to conferences their whole life. So I'm the PK of crisis pregnancy centers. I have grown up in it. I know everything about it. When I went to college, my parents did not have to worry about me because I was the one telling everybody about the STDs that they're going to get from unprotected sex. And I was the one writing papers about the negative effects of pornography on your mental health and the trauma that comes from miscarriages. So, if anybody's gonna kind of tell you what I'm about to tell you, I'm your girl, okay? So, I'm gonna give you tips that you can use while hiring professionals. Are great, they're very, very beneficial. These are things you can do for free that your volunteers can do, that you can do, but they will help you tremendously. So, social media. People, and abortion-minded women specifically, will determine in seconds whether or not they can trust you, whether or not they want to come to your clinic, and therefore in seconds, they will determine that they're not going to come to you and that they're going to go make an appointment for an abortion with Planned Parenthood in seconds. So your impact within an instant has to be very important and has to be targeted specifically towards them. So what is social media? Obviously, I know that y'all know what social media is, but I want you to take a moment and think to yourself what your social media is, what it looks like, and just kind of gather where you're at. Okay, so social media is not, there you go. Social media is not Facebook. It is not just Instagram. It is not just TikTok, Twitter, or Snapchat. And is not thousands of followers. It is so much more than that. But it's actually so simple, and you need to make sure that you're doing the same thing all across the board. So these are specific things that we're going to talk about today about what else social media is. It's establishing credibility in an instant. It's emotionally and socially appealing to abortion-minded women. It's what comes up in a Google search. It's specifically targeting the area that you serve. Establish connections visible online, and it is also your website.
Okay, don't.
No, that's okay. Sorry, I gotta get a picture of that one. Okay, so you're good. Can you give me that laser?
Thank you.
And then you can go to the next one.
Hold on a second, sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. You can go back. You can click the arrows on the keypad if you want. There you go. Okay, so like I said earlier, appearances are everything. You will win a chance with an abortion-minded woman when you don't look like a crisis pregnancy center from a decade ago and beyond. And we're going to go over this as well.
Sorry.
You okay? Glad to have you. Okay, so what people might tell you is that the enemy is always alive, the enemy is attacking our crisis pregnancy centers. But what you might not know is that the left in that moral hemisphere has directly organized and planned millions of dollars worth of campaigns trying to groom and educate women that a crisis pregnancy center is a fake women's health clinic. So I'm going to go through and show you some examples so you know why I'm bringing this up. So this came up when I searched crisis pregnancy center looking at designs from other crisis pregnancy centers. This is a random woman, and it's public, so I put their username on there. Do what you will. Terrifying truth about crisis pregnancy centers. We pretend to be medical clinics so we can trick vulnerable pregnant people. We are not licensed to provide any real medical care and are usually ran by churches or anti-abortion groups. This one, we are not bound by HIPAA laws that prevent us from sharing your private medical information. The next one.
When was this?
And this was last month. Everybody, this was Halloween 2021 last month. So this is not years and years ago. These are like recent. It is an ongoing campaign of grooming women.
And where?
Where? This was in the United States.
No, what platform?
Oh, Instagram. Sorry. Okay, so this is on So Informed, and I'll explain that. The deception and danger of crisis pregnancy centers. Since CPCs work to be deceptive, here are a few ways to tell if you are about to visit a CPC versus an actual crisis or an actual healthcare clinic. So pretty much the biggest takeaway I want you to learn from this top line. Mm-hmm. They run ads asking if you're pregnant, asking if you're scared, and asking if you need help. So, can any of you guys think of the last time you saw an ad for a crisis pregnancy center? Asking if they're pregnant, if they're scared, or if they need help? Pretty much every PRC or CPC, you know, we've all done it. And this was on Instagram by a page called So Informed. And you might think that, like, oh, this doesn't matter. This is just some random information that nobody's going to see. But if you see this black line right here, this is where I had to black out the hundreds of women that I know my age that are 18 to 35, birth giving years, they are in the demographic of abortion-minded women that follow this page. They have almost 3 million followers, and 90% of their followers are women aged 18 to 35. So, and this isn't even an anti-abortion page. This is a page where simple ways to check in with yourself. Black maternal health and mortality. They're an education platform, and they are educating women that you do not help them and that you're fake because of the words that you use. So this is a website. It's an interactive map where if you are a CBC, they have targeted you on here, and it says at the top they are fake women's health centers. So this is just another point that you are being targeted because you're a crisis pregnancy center. And I'm going to show you that even if you show up on this map, you can do things with your social media that will still attract an abortion-minded woman and make them trust you, no matter what this side tells them. So also, I was speaking to my mom about this campaign, this slander campaign, how they're educating these women. And actually, Planned Parenthood posted this last week on a blog. So They are growing. They are getting more intentional with the fact that they are trying to put this information out there. And it's only going to get more serious. And it's only going to become more fundamental for the women and what they're seeing. So why does this concern your center? So young women may identify your clinic as fake. They may not reach out to you. And they probably won't visit your clinic. And therefore, they won't trust you. If they see your social media and they clock you as a CPC, they're going to feel like they can't trust you, that you're not going to help them, that you could share their information, and they're probably not going to come in and see you. And obviously, an abortion-minded woman, we want to save lives, so we want to attract them. So this is not about pretending to be anything you're not or hiding the good that you do. You're going to make sure that these women know that you are professional, that you're reliable, and you can offer them better than Planned Parenthood and that university clinic that's going to give them cheap condoms and is not going to help them when they get pregnant. We are selling the real options, and your social media needs to establish, again, you have certified and professional staff. If you are not mentioning that on your social media, you need to be. Because why would someone come to you if you're not certified, if you're not professional? And even saying it, like in your posts, we have certified and professional staff, that has to be said. You are 100% confidential. While some people might not think that clinics have to say that, oh, well, they're a medical clinic, so they're 100% confidential, you just need to consistently put that across on your media. That you offer legit medical services and you do it without judgment and you have nothing to gain. Talk about the free services that you have. You know, you're talking about how you don't make any money off of them. You don't charge anything, but also that you do that with certified and professional staff. It's legit. So this is about elevating your center to a certain standard of appearance and being able to appeal to abortion-minded women's hearts in seconds. You're appealing to their emotions while you're also, you know, establishing your credibility as an organization. Essentially what these posts do is they appeal to their hearts as well as their minds subconsciously. So how do you show this? Okay, yeah, so you remember that part where I told you that I'm the PK of the CPCs. If you're going to have anybody telling you this information, just know it comes from the bottom of my heart with love. Okay. Just establish that. So stop advertising like a CPC from the last 30 years. And with the next slide is you can't have advertising that looks like Focus on the Family from 1985. Okay. So marketing 101, you have to be relevant to who you are marketing to. Okay, let's say I'm a hairstylist. My demographic is 18 to 35, same as an abortion-minded woman. I'm going to post some photos on the gram, Facebook, or my website trying to attract women of that age by the hairstyles that I do and my talent. I'm going to show you some photos. So am I going to post this on my social media?
No way.
No way. While I might have looked up to that growing up, that's not what I want right now. Or this. Okay, this would be from the advertising that I'm talking about, from that Focus on the Family, from maybe 10 to even 20 years ago. While it might really appeal to you, and you think that it might look really professional because you've seen it for so long, an abortion-minded woman is going to look at something from this time period and be like, uh-uh, where else can I go that appeals to me? The next, this is my favorite. Okay, so this is the type of highlights that girls my age had to tell their moms 10 years ago and be like, listen, do you know what a balayage is? Do you know what an ombre is? We need to fix this. So this would not appeal to women of an abortion-minded age demographic. Same. So abortion-minded women, same demographic that I'm talking about here, that will not be attracted to those things. So this is something that you should not be posting. If this looks like this is a good advertising marketing campaign, this is what I'm talking about. So the one on the left, pregnant, scared, you're not alone, help. While this message, you think like, oh, we're giving them information, they're scared, they're alone, and we want to help them. This is depressing. Like, why? I would not be encouraged if I see this. And also, this looks really outdated. The one on the right, women need love, not abortion. While that may be true, that is not helpful. That is not going to make me want to come to your center.
Well, where was that? What is that?
Yeah, so this would be a social media post. The one on the left would be advertising, but that is still media. And these all are recent. Okay, so same one on the left, pregnant and alone, our counselors are here 24/7 to help you find resources. This woman looks depressed. She does not look encouraged. She looks alone. If I were to picture a woman who's going to go get an abortion, it would look like this woman on the left, not someone who's coming to get help. And my personal favorite, this one on the right, this looks like a horror movie advertisement. Like why? This is just, it looks depressing, and it looks so sad, and this is not encouraging. And also, terminating upside down at the bottom. Like, come on. Okay, next. Scared you might be pregnant, we are here for you. All services are free and confidential. Schedule your appointment today. Well, this is helpful. This is something that you should be saying But it should not look like this. It should not say scared. And then this. This is also one of my favorites. Birth control in one hand, a condom in the other, and she's in her underwear. So this might be like, oh, this is a little risky. You know, we're gonna appeal to some women. We're kind of looking a little edgy. A woman my age that would be abortion-minded would look at this and not really think it's professional and probably kind of weird. So, use the imagery that this demographic recognizes, trusts, and is relevant to them. Where can you find this imagery? So you might think, you know, I'm not in that age. I am not in that demographic. I'm not worldly. I don't look at worldly things like a lot of women this age would, and that's totally understandable. So where can you find inspiration to make posts like this? So healthcare is a human right. Does anybody know where I might have found this?
Not a Students for Life site.
No, this is on Planned Parenthood. This is on Planned Parenthood's Instagram. And a lot of their imagery looks just like this. It is colorful. It's bright. It looks modern. It's got little symbols. And the next slide. This took me 5 minutes. So what you're going to do is, go back to the left, is that abortion-minded women that have been fed this imagery, mentally, when they see things of this color, that are bright like this, that look modern like this, they trust this. This is what they know. This is what they have been groomed and educated to know that is credible, that they can trust, and provides real medical services. So when you make a post, make something just like it. If you use the same colors, if you use the same schematic appearances, they're going to trust you without even thinking about it because this is what they've been fed their whole lives.
May I ask you a question?
Yes.
So using the same colors maybe as your logo?
Yes.
Like branding?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes, so we're going to go over that. Yes, yeah, so okay. you can use your colors, but at the same time, you're just using overall the same appearances that they could be using almost the same sentence, but you change it so that it fits your services. Okay. And then we'll go over colors and your branding.
Okay.
So I know everybody's been saying this, but do not post anti-abortion imagery on your platforms targeted towards abortion-minded women. I know we've been saying that. And I don't think people realize how many clinics still do that. And I'm not talking about your large centers. I'm talking about the small centers that we work with each and every day. So babies are being murdered every single day. We shouldn't be able to sleep at night. Okay, keep this in mind. If you're not the one being injected, having your heart stopped, getting your limbs ripped off, having your skull crushed, being sucked out with a vacuum, it is not your body, not your choice. The baby's body, not your body. So this is a pro-life post. And I found both of these on a CPC's social media that they try to use to attract abortion-minded women. And while you think, wow, that's crazy, people don't do that anymore, they do.
You mean they shared these people's posts?
Yeah, they shared these people's posts.
Yeah.
And because, you know, with the pro-life community, it's very tight-knit. We share people's stuff all the time. So they're just sharing anti-abortion imagery on their social media, which is great, but it's not for this. It's not for your any Facebook, any website, any Instagram. Do not post it there if you're trying to attract abortion-minded women. So, what do these images portray to an abortion-minded woman? And they may be true, they're unhelpful, and they will not come to you. If they see this, they will run the other direction, go schedule an appointment, and get it done where they want to get it done because they know where you stand. So, and fundraising posts do not go on your social media that attract abortion-minded women. I know that we say this, but just reiterating tenfold. So create a different Facebook page for your center supporters when you want to post anti-abortion links and material or fundraising material. Make a Facebook page, make a free website that one of your staff members creates, and we'll go over that. So for the Source Medical Clinic and our media, this is our Friends of the Source page. This is a Facebook group where we post Bible verses, we post Roe v. Wade updates, links on pro-life, anything, really. And it's very interactive, and we actually have donations set up through this. And it links to our other private website that is specifically for donors and supporters.
Is that like a private group then?
It is not a private group. But the thing is even though it's The Source and it has our logo and it says Friends of The Source, we have never had any problems in years of them really attributing them towards each other. Okay. Because an abortion-minded woman, when she comes across this, it might not connect with her who we are. And she found our The Source Medical Clinic Facebook page already. Okay. So this is really only found when people share it amongst themselves or if we mention it. Okay. So, same mission, do not use a different name. I know a lot of people think that it's beneficial for you to have a different name for your fundraising platform, but I'm going to tell you that I do not recommend that. If you find that it's beneficial for your center, you can do that, whatever you feel like God's leading you to do. But think about this. Think about how many ministries you have in your area. Think about if each and every one of them made another company name that's specifically for raising funds. Do you know how hard that would be to keep up with? Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm the Lighthouse, and that is my ministry, but I have fundraising called the Shorelines. Like, even though it's related, people aren't going to be able to keep up with that. It's not simple for your donors. You need to make it simple. They need to know exactly who you are, which is why Friends of the Source, The Source's supporters, that is a very great way to go and to get started with that. It needs to look the same. So your donor imagery and branding needs to look the same as your ministry branding and your mission. So websites that create modern designs for you. If you think, where am I supposed to create a design that looks like Planned Parenthood? How am I supposed to come up with this? Canva. Canva's amazing. I'm sure you heard that a million thousand times within this conference. Canva's free if you submit your paperwork for being tax exempt. And there's also Crello. There's all this other stuff, but really, Canva is absolutely incredible, and what I found is one time I came across a template that was identical to something that Planned Parenthood used. So they're probably using this platform as well. And you might think, you know, some people have said, I don't care what they're using, you know, they're horrible, I don't want to have anything to do with what they're doing. They're attracting abortion-minded women more than we are. So the thousands of templates that will appeal to your demographic. This takes 5 minutes. Like, I don't know if it's my next slide, but, yeah. So, I have no support system. Should I even have this baby? This is a post that we made that had great traction. Literally, all I did was put that text right here. This was already made for me. And this is very appealing. This is what they know, what they're trusted to, what they are attracted to. So, the same thing. This is something so simple that you can make in 5 minutes or less on Canva. So, Google, still a social platform, and it is still interactive. Establish yourself on Google for an abortion-minded woman to see. You have the chance to establish trust and professionalism in an instant. You have to include your phone number, your website, your physical address, your hours of operation, popular questions and answers, and accurate and professional photos of your physical site. And you can do this through Google Business Suite, and you can establish, it's free. Like, I'm not talking about Google Ads, I'm not talking about all that stuff you might not know how to do. You can do this through Google for free, establishing your business. So, this is a Google search. And I don't know if y'all can see this very well. I'm trying to make it as big as I can. This is a crisis pregnancy center in a different state. This is what came up for them. Can you look at this and determine what you think is missing or determine if you think you trust this? If you were an 18-year-old girl, would you go to this based upon this? Okay, so what is missing?
Hours.
Photos, reviews. Okay.
Question and answers.
Okay.
The name of the place.
The name of the place, yeah. Which building? Yeah, and so I was talking, okay, so like a girl can eat. I love food, okay, like Mexican, Chinese, like anything. Like I love to eat all the time. It's bad. My husband says he can't keep up with like how much I love food. But so keep in mind when I'm driving through a town and I spot some like sketchy Chinese place, that could be the best or worst decision of my life, you know? But I really want to have it. I love Chinese. It might be such a hole in the alley, but it could be my greatest find. But, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to Google it. Mm-hmm. And if it has one 5-star review, I'm going. Or if I know exactly that it's credible, that I can trust it, or if it gives me food poisoning, I'll leave a review on their Google. You know what I mean? But I know that they're on Google, and I know that they're established socially. So, With this one specifically, it is missing the hours, like you guys said, go back. The photos, accurate photos. This looks like some back alley clinic. Like, I'm not going to go to this if I'm a vulnerable woman alone. It's missing the website, like you guys said, and it's missing some Q&A. And so you might say, questions and answers, what does that mean? Well, when you have your hours and you say that you're only open Mondays and Thursdays, put a Q&A. Say, you know, we take appointments, but we also take walk-ins. Or what services do you offer? Questions, answers, we offer X, Y, and Z. And the thing is this is instant that they can see it right in front of their face. They don't have to go to your website, scroll, and find all this stuff. When you go through for free as a clinic and do this through Google, it is revolutionary for your business. So adding all of this will help your site be at the top of the search, aka furthering your ability to look more welcoming and credible to an abortion-minded woman. Google and map searches for abortion centers populate crisis pregnancy centers that are established on Google nearly 80% of the time. And you want to know where I found the statistic? On one of those websites crapping on crisis pregnancy centers. So they are frustrated that if you're established on Google, you're going to be popping up before an abortion clinic. Mm-hmm. So we go back one. So the point all of this is time, while Google ads are very important, and there's so much that you can do through hiring a firm or hiring a company to do all this Google stuff that you don't even know what they're talking about. If you have Google ads, but you don't have your Google page set up, it does not matter. If you run advertisements for social media, but when they Google you, it looks sketchy and like they can't trust it, you wasted all this money. It does not matter. If you have a $10,000 website, if they Google you and they don't trust you, it does not matter. Location matters. With Google, Facebook, Instagram, any campaign or promotional material, you need to directly target your audience and your local area. So with every post that we make, we tag Maryville, Missouri. I don't know if y'all know where Maryville, Missouri is at. It's in Northwest Missouri, tip-top corner by Nebraska, Iowa, and Kansas. So with this post, we make sure that we tag Maryville, Missouri. Our next post, Maryville, Missouri. Every single post we make, tag your location. And these are some of our posts. But when you tag your location, not only are you establishing the fact that you're in Maryville, Missouri, but something that young women do, or if you offer STD and STI testing, young men do, is they will click on the location of wherever they're at. Let's say I am a girl, and I'm 18, and I moved to Maryville, Missouri to go to college. So I want to find some cute guy in my area. So I'm going to search all the Instagram posts in Maryville, Missouri. Or I want to find friends. I want to find girls in Maryville, Missouri. And so what people of this generation do is they search through, just scroll and browse through their individual location. If they're constantly seeing these posts that look the same, talking about a medical clinic that offers them services for free, that visually they trust, visually they are attracted to, subconsciously when they come across your material, when they're actually looking for it, it's already going to be credible. They're already going to trust you. They're already going to think that you can help them. So with hashtags specific to your center's location, everybody talks about hashtags. Like, hashtags can sometimes be a losing game if you don't know what you're talking about. But something that doesn't matter is when I was telling you that thousands of followers don't matter, you putting empowered to choose and informed choice does not matter. Crisis pregnancy center, unplanned pregnancy does not matter. If you're not putting your location, I'm not trying to attract some abortion-minded woman in North Dakota. I'm trying to attract a woman in my area. My posts are going to come up more in her area if I'm tagging my location. So I'm in, and you can go overboard. You can be absolutely ridiculous about redundancy. So we're in Maryville, Missouri. Maryville, Missouri, Northwest Missouri State University, which is the university in town. Go Bearcats. Once a Bearcat, always a Bearcat. Northwest Missouri State University spelled out. Maryville, Missouri spelled out together. When you tag your location, like when I was telling you about that young women, they search their location that's tagged. They search through hashtags. Let's say I'm a cheerleader. I cheer for the Bearcats. I put once a Bearcat, always a Bearcat in my posts. Then I want to know who else is posting this. And if I look at who else is posting these hashtags within my area, which they do, I promise you that they do, they will find your material. So Another really big point I want to hit on is visible connections. So when you are doing sexual risk avoidance, sex education within colleges and high schools, when you're going to their fairs, ask them to tag you. They have a media team. They have some kind of like a college group that's promoting their fair. Ask them to take a picture, or if you have a picture, send it to them and ask them to post it and tag you in it. Community programs. If you work with other community service projects, do the same thing. Take photos, send it to them, ask for them to share it, and I'll tell you why. Same with religious organizations. This is a touchy thing because when I tell you don't put Bible verses on your social media, and when people tell you don't affiliate with religious organizations on your media, that is true. But when it comes to this, it's not that you are a religious organization. It's showing the fact that you are affiliated with each and every different type of organization within your community. If you're affiliated with the colleges and high schools, they're not going to think twice that you're helping a church with a canned food drive. So with all of this, this is what we're going to talk about, organic abilities to come up in social media. Let's say, like I was saying, you don't have the budget for Google Ads. You don't have the budget to constantly run Facebook promotional materials. So these are all things you can do for free. And when you do this, how Facebook and Instagram and all that works is the more you are mentioned organically through other people talking about you, your online presence, the more that you are organically going to show up for a woman, the more that you might have already popped up in front of her face for speaking at her university. So it's constantly not only establishing your connections under the naked eye where we can't see, where these algorithms and this technology is going to pick up and be like, hey, all these people are talking about this. It's constantly being posted. People probably like them. So I might put them up for a suggested page for them to like. Schedule out your posts using online scheduling websites. A lot of people have been talking about this. I'm going to make this really brief. You can do this through Facebook individually. You can plan out your posts. It saves you time. Facebook, you can only do it through Facebook. Buffer, you can do through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I think that's, oh, Pinterest. I don't know if y'all do Pinterest, but you can do that. You can also do it through Canva now. This is a new thing Canva's offering, that you can schedule out your posts to social media platforms. It saves you so much time. Mention abortion as much as you can and in as many different ways as you can on your social media and on your website. If you're doing your website yourself or if someone's doing your website, make sure that you are talking about abortion. And you don't have, you know, I'm not saying lie, but try to be creative. Think of as many different ways as you can, because the more you mention it, the more it's going to come up when people search it. Link socials on your websites, and in your socials, link your websites. So just make sure it's all cohesive, linking towards one another. Your website should look like your media. So with Google Ads, with blogs, with social ads, none of it matters if you don't look professional and if you're not appealing to those women. You're gonna waste your money when you could have delegated it in a different way to attract these women. So, does anybody know what this is?
Walmart.
It didn't even say Walmart. But immediately you know that it's Walmart based upon its appearance. Same with their ads. Like, you can, all across the board, they are universal and their look, it looks the same. You trust it. You know exactly what it is when you see it. Same with this. They have, and so this would be a modern design for them. You know, this is something that they're changing to, that everybody's changing to, but they have still found a way to incorporate their appearance and their look in a modern way to attract people within this generation. Same name, same colors, same look for all media, all advertisements, on their website, everything. So this is an example of a branding scheme that we did for another center. This is something that you could start with. Let's say you don't have something like this to establish your center. So you have your logo here, that this will be the same. You have colors, but you have colors that you can use for everything. They're very universal. They're not all the same, but they will go into all of your materials. Same with fonts. You need to establish this. And this is an example of a post that they made. This includes all of their information. And the more that they go forward with this universal look in all of their posts and everything, people identify them and they know exactly what it is. So this is, if you have any questions, this is LifeLove. This is my contact information. And we do this type of work. If you have any questions, I would love to answer any of your questions that you might have about just the simplest things. And I could direct you in ways of free resources.
Can you put that back? I'm going to try it again.
Yes, of course.
Thanks. Okay.
So, and this just ties into the fact that, you know, more that you have a universal look, that you've established the fact that you're credible, you're professional enough to even have any branding whatsoever that you base everything else upon. Which was kind of like a quick end, but I feel like there's so much information to cover. So if anybody has any questions, yes.
When you mentioned about the hashtags and the
yes.
location,
mm-hmm.
if, so we're in Barnhart, Missouri, okay, but we have surrounding communities. Would mm-hmm. we want to hashtag Arnold, hashtag Imperial?
Yes.
Because there's not, okay.
If you serve them, hashtag their town. We've done that before where we hashtag local areas, and then if we know that there are seniors coming in from other areas, like if we have seniors coming in from Iowa, then we will just target their specific areas that they might be interested in, that we know that they're coming into Northwest Missouri.
Okay. And you can even hashtag like things that are popular, like in culture or
yes.
like, I don't know.
Yeah, but
you'll have to pick something.
Yeah, and that's good too. But essentially, like if you know that there is the Missouri State Fair coming up, Missouri State
oh,
Fair.
Okay, yeah.
You know, you wanna tag things that people are gonna be looking for that are in your area specifically and common amongst that demographic that they're interested in.
And but, even if it's things that might not be like for. Like specifically for what you would think is an abortion-minded woman, if it's something that's popular,
yeah.
it will populate it all through social media because people will be tagging that, like State Fair
yeah.
or whatever, then your post is going to be circulating behind the scenes in those algorithms.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
I have a question.
Yes.
I've been seeing a lot of pro-life designs like t-shirts and just different mm-hmm. swag items that have that saying my body, my choice,
uh-huh.
which I have always associated with the pro-choice movement,
yes,
the pro-abortion movement. I'm just curious what your take is on that,
yes.
on your age demographic. Is that something that's appealing?
It is appealing, but at the same time, it's false. So you're going to appeal them with a shirt that says, you know, your body, your choice, or my body, my choice. But then it's just going to be a false narrative where they're not going to trust you because they're going to come up and be like, so you don't think it's my body, my choice. Whereas if you're taking Planned Parenthood's media and making it for your own, you're being very obvious about your mission. And, you know, if you were going to make a website, I would just say, or make a t-shirt, I wouldn't put that on that. Just as the same as on my social media, I wouldn't put my body, my choice with the affiliation that that's always about the fact that it goes with abortion.
Right.
If you Google that, they're going to get pulled into.
Yeah.
Right. I guess I was more, because I wouldn't use it. I was more so wondering if that has become something that works to draw.
I would say.
I just don't understand why they're using that phrase.
No. I would say the only thing that's really been proven beneficial is using something that looks exactly like what they say,
yeah.
but slightly different. I haven't really heard of anything like using literally the same exact pro-abortion slogan
yeah.
and then using it, you know.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard of that. But it would make sense. But personally, I don't really think that would be beneficial.
Yeah. Okay.
But what do I know? Okay, yes.
I have a question about your postings. And,
yes.
You talked briefly about them being posted through different things being scheduled.
Yes.
When you do that, are you posting new things or are you using the same ad maybe once a month or?
Yeah. So I would recommend not the same ad once a month.
Okay.
What we've done is if we want to repeat, we'll do it twice a year. We'll do it in the winter, and then we'll do it in the summer. And essentially because, but when you schedule something out, let's say you make a post in Canva, and it has a really cool sentence that you really like, and you think it's been really great for your clinic, change the colors.
Okay.
Add a different picture in it, because the same type of imagery and the same type of description that you're using that you think works for your clinic, just change it slightly to where they won't recognize. If they search hard enough, they're going to realize it's the same, but they're not going to recognize it right off the bat. It doesn't matter because it still works.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
I've got a question in terms of some of the posts refer, these are my words, not really,
yes.
To her self-interest, okay?
Okay.
and you had at least one, which was not overtly pro-life, but it did refer to her and her future with her baby.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about same, different, mm-hmm. both work, one works sometimes, others, just talk a little bit yes. about that. So I'm curious about
yes.
that.
Yes, will you go to, you know, I had like the search bar. So,
the search bar?
Yeah, it was like a picture of a girl in a field, left,
yeah,
back.
Right. Yeah.
Back, right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I have no support system. Should I even have this baby? Notice I did not say, you don't have a support system, you can have your baby. You want to say things to where it opens the question of that they have a valid concern and they think, should I even have this baby? They think that that's the only answer. So whereas you're not lying, you know, you're not saying you shouldn't have this baby come into our clinic. You're doing an open-ended question to the fact that you're appealing to that specific idea and the fact that they have no support system, but they're going to come into your center and you can lean them in that other direction. Does that make sense? And
yes, but it does.
Yes.
But can you amplify that you are, is she thinking about not just my future, but my future if I have a baby?
Yes.
If my future when a baby is here. I mean, is that, I guess I should presume that, but I don't want to presume anything because I'm not 18 to 35.
Yeah. Yes, so something that is very common and a lot of people really use it in a negative way, but it is very honest psychologically, is women of that age, it is I.
Okay.
She is thinking about herself in this situation. If she is just found out she's pregnant, she's not thinking, oh, what's my baby's heartbeat like? What's this? I mean, she'll think about what happens when she comes to term, but at this point, she's thinking all about herself, so you need to use I terms. She so that she's focused on completely herself and that you're not focused on her baby. You're focused on her. I have no support system. Should I have this baby? So you're going to be like, you, instead of like, oh, well, your baby, you have a real baby inside you. You know, that's a real person. You're not focused on that to get her in the door at first. You're focused on her because she's focused on her,
yes.
You know? So.
Yeah. So does that even translate? I don't mean to preoccupy this, but does that even translate when she might come in, let's say you're a medical center, you have ultrasound.
Yes.
And you have the ultrasound, let's say not 6 weeks or 8 weeks, but we're talking 12, 14 weeks.
Okay.
Do you find that it's helpful or not helpful then to the theory within the pro-life movement is if we can get her to have a relationship with her baby and then help her overcome those problems,
yes.
then things will progress more often than not well.
So
is that true still or not?
I'm going to preface that with saying that the point of social media is not to have an ongoing communication and connection with them. The purpose of this, you know, we have so many procedures, we have so much money, we have so many prayers into our clinic especially, that we know that once we get them in the door, we'll go from there. But specifically, this is just trying to get them in the door. And then the relationship goes from there.
I have a question. When you, like, post that picture, mm-hmm. that little phrase, do you do like a little over in the side notes, like a little
like a description
sentence? Yes.
Yes, yeah. So something like this. So what we've done is we've created about like 15 different just paragraphs or scripts. And so there's so many different options we could go with for this, and it could be want more information, call your number. Because, you know, everybody talks about call to action. That can be in your description. It doesn't have to be in every photo. And so underneath this, you would say, oh, do you want to know all of your options? There's knowledge and power. And you could do a short little simple, here's my phone number, check our bio for our website. Or you could have a very personal description if you would like to do that as well. But for time purposes, people usually don't do that.
Do you have a recommendation on video length? Because I know that there's like 30 seconds to like 5 minutes or whatever. Myself personally, mm-hmm. which I'm not even in your age group, I'm right out of it. But like my attention span on watching a video is maybe 30 seconds.
Yes.
So what is it for younger people who are watching TikTok?
It's even shorter. So with psychology, I could go on forever, but they've talked about how with TikTok and with short videos, it releases dopamine, and it is a really quick and great way for me to get my happiness and go to the next video. And so with videos, what we found is that they're not as beneficial anymore. They're great for donors, but you know what young people love to do? Read things really fast. So if you have what we've done is instead of doing a video, we'll, I don't have it on here, but we have a, we have like a graphic or like a 3 second long like loop that goes on the background, and then you'll have text in the front. So
like something that you would use, is it SparkPost?
I'll try to find another example.
No, we don't use, we use Canva. Canva has short videos that can go in the back. Literally, it's just like a picture. Mm-hmm. And so you'll put, when I had that timer, mm-hmm. like, and it was running, mm-hmm. it's on Canva, and it's essentially a graphic, or it could be a video, and it will show you the second length, and it can just loop in the background while you explain
something.
So
you're saying that is more beneficial for your clients than a video.
Yes, and essentially because with reading something super quick, that it's just been beneficial. They don't like to watch a long video. It, you know, and then you're going to put so much effort into a video that lasts 20 seconds,
yeah.
you know, that you can't repost, you'll have to change it again.
Yeah.
So what you can do is you can do something different.
Yeah.
Are you doing the little video thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's on Instagram as well.
Okay.
Does anybody else have any other questions while we pull this up?
Is Facebook a good place to be?
Facebook is a good place to be.
My kids. What, every, nothing to do with Facebook.
Well, see, everybody says that. Everybody says nobody's on Facebook anymore. Everyone I know, like girls, if they want to take an Instagram break, if they want to take a social media break, you know what they keep? Facebook. Because their family's on Facebook. Because they like Facebook. So, I mean, probably 15 and under might not be into Facebook, but 18 to 25, they're on Facebook. Yeah. So, scroll down.
I found it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's
June.
That.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, right there. Go back up. Up. Okay, right there.
Yeah.
So this.
Yeah.
Like, something like this, it's got a cute short video, but they're not invested in this video. They're reading about what you're saying. And something that I was going to say as well, and it's, again, kind of a touchy thing, but if you're going to use the same type of post that other centers are posting as well, I'm talking about, like, an identical post. People, they're going to catch on to that. If they see all of the crisis pregnancy centers in their Kansas City area are posting the same thing, you're linking yourself to a crisis pregnancy center where they might not have the same messagery that you do, they're going to know. Not that you're trying to hide anything, but you know what we're talking about. Sorry?
So we schedule our posts, like we have our social media day.
Uh-huh.
We schedule posts for like the month out.
Yeah.
Is there a specific time of day that is better, like when scheduling posts?
Yes. So, I can't do it on here, but if you say after, I can show you through Instagram. It will tell you specifically the days that your audience is most active.
Okay.
The times of the day that they're most active. And if you want to post in the middle of that, or you want to post before that, but your social media platform will tell you specifically for your account and your audience.
Yes.
Because it changes all the time. Like, I could Google best time to post. If it's in Chicago, they have different demographic, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
So. Yes?
On your site targeted to abortion-minded women, would you also include postings about, you know, free resources like diapers or classes?
Yes, yeah. Essentially, yes. And but that could be under a different tab. You know, you have sections for everything. You have sections for the medical services that you offer, you know, STD testing, pregnancy testing, ultrasound. And then you can have a resources tab specifically for, like, resources for a mama, like resources for mom and baby, and then go from there.
On your Facebook tab?
We do it on Facebook as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so usually, but what you're saying is when you're including all these different types of things, you're saying that we appeal to your emotions and we're staying somewhat ambiguous, but we also help moms and babies. Instead of being like, oh, don't think you can keep this baby, you absolutely can. You can do adoption. You can do, well, when they come in, you'll go over those things. You're not like specifically clocking yourself. It's like, I'm trying to have you keep your baby and here's all these diapers and resources. Where you're as like, you have valid concerns and you have valid options, but we also help all these other women that have children as well.
So it's okay to post baby stuff and adoption stuff.
Yes.
On the same.
Yes.
Social media,
but we don't do it as much. So when we plan out our social media, we will write down that we want 10 STD, 10 STI postings this week. We want to have 15 abortion-minded women posts this, or 10 this month, 15 of this month. We want two resource posts this month, because what we found is we're having an influx of of women who want diapers and who want blankets and want all these resources that we can give them, and that's great. That's also what we're here for, but we don't have to advertise for that. You know, they're already coming to us, so we're dedicating our social media to attract the women that we're not seeing as much.
I just wanted to speak to, like, as a director, I think it's important to know how to interpret the analytics of social media, because even, you know, working very closely with someone like May, there might be a post, and just, like, revealing my age or generation, I'll be like, there was only 2 likes on that, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be like, that's not very popular. Well, she could flip it around on the backside, and there was like 1,400 views.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, yeah, you know, 200 engagements. And, like, in our area, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So, like, you need to be able to look on the backside of the analytics, because young people don't waste their, like what I've been explaining, they don't waste their likes and their clicks and stuff, yeah, just on, and especially not on your, yeah, sexual health clinic posts and stuff,
yes,
like that. So you need to look at that. And then also, speaking as a director, if you do have those posts that have had that great action, like when you, if you need to make a post, like, you can go down in your feed and recycle. Like, you don't have to recreate new stuff. If it worked before, like, reach back to something that is, yeah, 12 or 18 months
same
old.
Same topic, yeah.
Same topic, and repost it. Because, yeah, you're going to have different people, and someone's not going to remember what your post is, and, mm-hmm, you know, things like that. So you don't, it's more about, like, the consistency of it and things like that than,
yeah,
if it's within your same, you know, branding scheme and stuff like that. But it doesn't have to be so much work. It will work for you. Just reach down, use something that that your audience likes.
Yeah, and piggybacking off of that, so you might have a page, so I think we have like 700 followers on Instagram. When we make a post, there are more people that see our post than that follow us. And think if I'm a 19-year-old woman who goes to college and I would be abortion-minded if I were to get pregnant, I'm not going to like someone's STD post, you know? Like, you'll pop up on my stuff and, like, I'll find it very informative and I will remember, you know, the services that you offer, but I'm not going to like it. So don't get discouraged when people aren't, like, liking and sharing your stuff, because it's not a really popular topic. But at the same time, you might not realize how many people are seeing your posts in your area, which is all that matters. Like, you don't need some viral post all across the country or all these things. It's your area specifically that matters and the women in that area. So, anybody else have any other questions? Okay, cool. Oh, yeah?
Well, I want to wait to see if anybody else. So 18 to 35 is a pretty big age,
yeah,
differential.
So, absolutely.
You know, again, I'm asking for more generalities. Do you find that 18-year-olds, oh, God, I'm pregnant, this is the worst thing that has ever happened, and 35-year-olds, I'm pregnant, I need stuff, okay? I mean, does it break down that way, or how does it break down in terms of, and this is for anybody here, but it's
yes.
I'm not in the field, obviously. I'm a lobbyist. So I don't deal with this day in and day.
No, that's okay. What do you mean specifically? How does
it's a broad range. And yeah. This is about abortion-minded, abortion-vulnerable women, right?
Yes.
Abortion-minded.
Okay. Same thing.
But there's also women who are like, well, I'd like to have a baby, but I can't because my boyfriend.
Yeah.
I can't because I can't pay for my first month's rent.
Yes.
Again, one of the theories in the pro-life movement for a long time is, yes, there's bad relationships, but there are a lot of women who need stuff.
Yes.
And if we give them the stuff, then they'll have the baby.
Yes.
And is that true, not true, or sometimes true, sometimes not true?
I mean, it's all individually based. And obviously, like, the disparities between the percentages of women that we have that want free resources versus an 18-year-old girl that comes to college and gets pregnant and wants an abortion, those are entirely different percentages, right, of women that we see. And there's kind of a thing that says it's not that deep, and you need to do that with your social media. I'm not going to go through and list each and every objection to try to appeal to millions of different objections that women who are abortion-minded might have. If I just use a generalized thing of, oh, should I do this? I don't have any options. You can just play on the very generalized category of all of the objections they might have underneath that. So you're attracting all of them. And then when they come in the door, that's when they'll be like, oh, well, I'm going to lose my scholarship, or I don't have any money. My stimulus check was the only thing I used to afford this. Then you're going to go through and provide them with all these things in this area. But you're just getting them in the door, and then you go through the individual things.
And I appreciate you making that distinction between initial contact or hopeful initial contact versus an ongoing relationship, and getting them in the door or making the phone call or texting you is the first step.
So, but if you think about, think about the Walmart advertising that I mentioned. If they run a Black Friday deal, they're not going to list every single laptop that they have at every price, all the processors, all these different things that they offer, all the colors. They're going to post the fact that they have sales on laptops, and then that will get you in the door for you to differentiate what you need specifically for each and every person.
And you may, instead of getting laptops, you might get a laptop and gloves and boots.
Like you might get a keyboard and all this other stuff too. So, okay. Will you put my contact information back up?
Yep.
With the source, we found these things to be super beneficial. They have been revolutionary in bringing in abortion-minded women to meet them where they're at and in front of their faces where they spend all of their time, as I'm sure we all know.
Did you do this PowerPoint on Canva?
I did this PowerPoint on Canva.
I didn't know they did PowerPoint.
They do everything. Like, I don't think we realize how much Canva does, but I did this PowerPoint on Canva.
Canva.
Yeah, Canva's incredible.
Yes.
So, and I like to say, if you don't know how to do something, YouTube it. Like, I do graphic design, marketing, social media. I do not have a degree in graphic design. I do not. Everything that I know, I've learned from YouTube. I've watched videos. I know from personal experience. So if you don't have a graphic designer in your clinic, it doesn't matter. You have these resources, and you can watch a video or Google. My mom always asks me questions. She's like, how do you do this? I'm like, Mom, Google it. Like, I'll help you with it. But, like, you can see it in explanation. Just Google it. Just YouTube it. But anyways, thank you guys so much for your time, and I really hope that this is
Thank you.